Psalm 121. I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let us pray. Dear God, we pray today for Pastor John and the sermon that he is about to bring to us. I pray that we would all learn something from it and we would gain knowledge that would help us to become more like you. I pray for the storm that's coming and that everyone would have a safe trip home and that we would all remain safe and smart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now we're in Psalm 121. I've never preached this psalm before. These are all fresh starts for me. And I preach a lot of psalms. I've never preached Psalm 121. Never preached Psalm 120. Never preached Psalm 117. Psalm 121 is one of the psalms of ascent. And remember, the ascending is you're starting down at sea level and you're going up from the Jordan River and you're going up and up and up. I wanted to show you a picture of what it looked like way back then. I can't find one. But going up toward Jerusalem, which is up on the hills or up in the mountain, or it's surrounded by a bunch of mountains, it's well defended by mountains, and so you're going up, 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 up. If you've ever driven in a car, everywhere you go, you have no idea what I'm talking about here. Because if you're walking up, 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 after a while you get tired of going up. It's good exercise. And you've already had a 2-3 day journey coming from someplace else to get there, and so you might be saying, how am I going to make it? I'm running out of gas. And this is a psalm that addresses that. So here we have struggles in life. There's fears, there's obstacles, there's difficulties, there's things we can be anxious about, there's things that we don't like, and where can we turn for help? And I see on Facebook people that are followers of Jesus, and they put their little secular help things in there. Here's where you can go for help, and there's where you can go for help, and I'm like, do you ever have God in that formula? And I understand. There's a lot of people that think they're religious. There's a lot of people that claim they're spiritual, but they don't really have a relationship with Jesus. They don't really know God personally. They know what it is to walk inside of a church, but to face a problem and automatically think that God is my answer, that's not what comes to their mind. Now, I'm so sorry for them because, well, that's what comes to my mind. I may or may not trust him well in that. But what do you do if you don't have God to turn to in the problems of life? And this is a psalm that talks about that. Psalm 121, my help comes from the Lord. And so we've got just two main points. And the first one is, this is really clever how I worded this. My help comes from the Lord. It's exactly what the verses say. Verse 1. Where it talks about his help comes from the Lord. And so the first two verses, I think, is this first point. My help comes from the Lord. I lift up my eyes to the hills. And so you're walking up this long trek, the incline going up there, wearing down, and you're looking up to the hills. Where am I going to get help? I'm running out. And this is for other things, too. You could be going down a hill. Whatever your problem, whatever your struggle, whatever your challenge, whatever your need, where do you get your help? Yeah, in the middle of nowhere, there's no 7-Eleven, no gas station, no AAA. What do you do for help? And so I see hills. I see help. I see the gospel. Now, where do I see the gospel? This is a group of people going together to worship. Now, like you and I. This morning, there's the threat of snow and the weather people on. I didn't check, but I'm sure they're saying the same thing they always say. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned to our show. Watch all of our advertisements and commercials, and we will tell you when it's safe to go out. And they'll stretch it on forever because they got to sell the advertisements. And I'm sure they were saying that, but you and I were making our way here, or you were making your way there to the television set or the computer or something like that. And here, when you're just going up the side of the hill, it's easier to find this company. It reminds me of Tepepan. How many have walked the hill in Tepepan in Mexico? Raise your hands. Okay. Wow. Even a small group, we've got a bunch of people. You know Tepepan. Tepepan Now, the Pepin, it's kind of grown up. They now have a road that goes partially up the mountain. It goes up to the Catholic Church. Funny, they stopped the road. The government didn't build up to the Baptist Church, just to the Catholic Church. But that's a good bit of the way. We went up this donkey trail, and you go up, and you got to get down before the sun sets because there's no lights. And I'm telling you, we started out, and we lost four before we got going any distance at all. And by the time we were at the top, you know, we were, because you're thousands of feet above. So you're high enough at the Pepin. You're high enough at the Pepin if there's a storm. Did you ever storm while you were there? Did you ever look down on a storm? If there's like a storm that comes through, you look down on the clouds. The storm's underneath you. It is up there. And I'm telling you, it's actually higher than Jerusalem is. It was a hike. And you can feel that every step of the way. And you can see who's a young buck in good shape and who's not. Because they're just kind of going and whatever. And the rest of us are left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. There's hills. There's help. These are worshipers that are going up the hill to go to church, in essence. They're going to Jerusalem to worship at the temple because this is the time they're supposed to do it. And they're all together. They're going to worship, and they're looking up and saying, I need help. And you know who they're going to call on for help? They're going to call on God because they're going to worship God. Now, I'm sure there's people that were mixed up in there that were just nominal Jewish people. They didn't really want to worship God. They're just coming because they're going to sell their goats. I don't know. But they're worshipers going together. So this is a hymn for worshipers. If you worship, I don't mean did you go to church. Do you worship? See, they're not in a church building, these folks right here. But they're still worshiping. And if their heart's right, you can be here and you can be there. And if your heart's not right with God, you're not worshiping. I'm sorry. But if you're saying, God, I love you and I'm trying to learn from your word and I want it to change, I want to apply it to my life, you know, you're showing God has value. He has worth. And that's why you're giving him worth or you're giving him worship. And because he's a priority, he's at the center of your life. Now, that's true for us, that we know that we need help. We're seekers originally. We needed help. We needed help because we realize we're not going to go to heaven. We don't know God right now. We don't have his power in his life. We can pray prayers and nothing happens. We can open the Bible and it doesn't make sense. And if there's somebody that's listening right now they say, that's me. Ah, wonderful. Please talk to one of us before you go or send us an email or a comment or something or give a phone call. The church has a number and I've got a Facebook page if you can find mine in there. You know, it says Linda and John. Go find it and click on somebody in there and tell them you want to talk about this a little bit because that's where we started. We're aware that there is a God and we fall short of his glory. We're guilty of not doing the things he wants us to do, of doing the things he doesn't want us to do. Not totally, but, you know, we're not completely messed up, just a little bit messed up. And how are you going to get your way out of it? Who are you going to trust? You're going to trust Jesus. Jesus, the one that came to make a way that we can get to God. Who are you going to trust? Well, come to think of it, verse 2 says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. You can hear it all the time. It doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you are sincere in your heart. That is junk. That is wrong. If I climb to the top of the church and I believe I'm a bird and jump off the end, I can believe that as sincerely as I want to, but I'm still going to crash because gravity is true whether I believe in it or not. And you can make up any God that you want, and it's about as strong as your imagination, and that's it. You have to go, who do you go for help? You go to the real God, the one actually is true. Find out how you discover who a God is, and then find that God. And that's what we've done. We found that the Bible describes him to us. We want to find the Lord, the creator God, the one who created the heaven and earth, the one that's self-revealed in the Bible. He's the one we turn to, the one that came down, the one that's Father, Son, Holy Spirit that came down. We call him the second person if we're counting things. We organize things that way. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Was he man or was he God? Yes. We talked about that a little bit earlier before the children's message. Jesus claimed to be God, and he was God. Because there's only three possibilities. He's not crazy. So he's either lying or telling the truth. And when you come back from the dead, That kind of puts an exclamation point behind what you've just been proclaiming. Yes, you had victory. Your truth, that's the one we worship. We know that God better now than they did then. But if you want help and you're a worshiper, if you're connected to God already by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can get help from Him anytime, all the time. Now, we want to look at Hebrews 13:6. Gosh, I wish we could figure the technology out that we could put these things, the slides up in front of you. Maybe somebody's going to figure that up right now. I just have to tell you, Hebrews 13:6. This is actually from Psalm 118, but we're going to read it from Hebrews. And so it sits in our minds better than just hearing me say it. Let's all read it together. I'll do the reference. You do the verse. Hebrews 13:6. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And that's a verse to memorize if you're worried about what can men do to you. Because what can men do to you? Well, they can hurt you. They can make you feel bad. They can kill you, but they can't take away your soul. They can't give you eternal life. And they can't help you in the way that God can help you here. And so our help, my help, comes from the Lord. Well, the second point that's in here, I think, is the remaining verses, 3-8. And it is, the Lord is my protection. He's still help. He's keeping you, maybe your translation says. And maybe it's the same point as the first one. I'm saying it's the second one, the Lord is my protection. And in fact, in verses 3 and 4, I would say, the Lord does not rest. It just kind of gets deeper and deeper and broader as we go. The Lord's my help, and the Lord does not rest. So in verse 4, it says, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. So he's not nodding off. He's always there, ready to help. Now, the pagan gods are not like that. They are like us because people made them up. And when people make up gods, they make gods that are comfortable and are like them. So, you know, Elijah was taunting those false priests. Your God's not answering your prayer yet. Shout a little louder. Maybe he's resting. But in Psalm 121, God does not rest. God does not rest. Okay, so if he is my protection and he does not rest, what is he protecting? And I go back a verse for verse 3, because I normally just kind of go 1, 2, 3, 4. And so this one I thought, let me go 1, 2, 4, 3. Maybe I surprised somebody by that. Because this is what he's protecting. It says your foot would not be moved. Now, you know, we've got this physical and the spiritual that are relating to each other. So you're walking up the side of this mountain, and there could be stones and dirt. And I saw somebody just yesterday, a relative, and he's limping around. And he was skateboarding or skating or something like that. And hit like a stone. And, you know, even with a motorcycle, you hit something the wrong way and you can hit sand and slide, and he slid and tore his leg up. And so here, they're promising as you're hiking, God can help you, that your foot would not be moved, that you have a stable base, a foundation upon which, you know, to live life, to walk. Do you think that that's the main intention of this verse? I'm thinking not. I'm thinking beyond that. I'm thinking just as the foot is your physical, you know, foundation, and God is interested in you looking where you're going and not, you know, tripping over logs and rolling your ankle on stones. But I think even more so, he's interested in our spiritual life, our heart, that we've got a firm foundation upon which to walk. And in the scriptures, when you're walking, it means living. And the old King James, where it's talking about the walk, half the time it's not your walk, it's your life. So he wants us to have a good foundation, and that's what we do today, as this church focuses on God, and we don't find the heart of God. Remember your devotions. We find the heart of God, but we want to find that out not from our, let's just dig deep within and pull it out. Don't dig deep within. Pull it out from the scriptures. Find out what God says. Use that. That's a firm foundation. You can slip. You listen to my ideas, you're going to slip. If I listen to your ideas, I'm going to slip. Listen to God's ideas, we're going to have a firm foundation. And so he's there to protect us and to help us. and to provide for us in every way, even the spiritual ways, that we're not going to slip. Now, here's next a verse. Psalm 4, verse 8. Psalm 4, verse 8. I'm saying that because, you know what, though? If you're at home, you've got this too, don't you? I forgot. You can look at your email. And because we've got the note-taking outline is right there with you. And if you're saying, I never get the note-taking outline, send us an email, would you? Pastor@perryville.org. Do that. Put an O in there. Don't do paster. Do pastor. Sounds like West Virginia, doesn't it? Paster. Do pastor. Pastor@perryville.org. And tell us that you want the note-taking outline. Got the note-taking outline, and we got the devotions, and that'll help you to figure out what's going on. You need that, because I'm not doing too much up here. I'm just sharing some scripture. If you have that to look at, it's going to be helpful. Psalm 4, 8. I'll say the reference, and then you say it together with me. Psalm 4, 8. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Yeah, so, you know, God's not resting, so we can get... Have you ever done that? Just say, God, I'm just so worried about such and such. I'm going to give it to you to care for me, and then I'll pick up and be concerned about it again tomorrow morning. Have you ever done that? I haven't done it too much, but it's a good thing to do. I've done it some. Probably should have done it more than I have. Don't worry about it all night long. Give it to God, because he is not going to rest. And so under that second point, that God's going to protect us, he's going to protect us. He's not going to rest. He's going to protect us day and night. And if you're saying day and night, that's like all the time, right? That's a merism. It means everything, all the time, day and night. And so in verse five, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. Now just think about this. So I'm oriented the way they're oriented. Where are we going? That's the west. And I'm pointed toward the west, because when you hit the bottom of the Jordan River there and you have to take a right, you're going kind of, it's not true west, but it's close to west. You're kind of going uphill and you're going to the west. If you're going to the west, where do you see the sun from? You know, I know east to west, yeah, but it's always on the southern side of things, right? Down on the southern side of things. And so you're going west, the sun's on the southern side. What's at your right hand? No sun. Here's the sun. Right side's no sun. And what does the scripture say here? That your shade's going to be on your right hand. Well, as I said, it can be on your left hand too. If there's like a big tree or something, you can get in the shade of the tree. But the point is that the danger, the problems are coming from the left hand. And that your shade is on your right hand, at least technically speaking, your right hand. If you're armed, your sword and all that, your right hand, it's in the shade. It's in the shade of your body. But I'm just thinking the right side of things. That's the shady side. That's the side. If I think pointed in that direction, there's nothing pouring in on me. If I'm pointing in this direction, there's a lot pouring in on me. If I'm going to the west, it's pouring from this side over here. And God says he can keep you. He's going to be like the shady side, no danger. Isn't that beautiful? It's kind of a word picture to kind of think of that thing, that on your right, there's no danger. Here's another one. You got to think these things through. Here's another one. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. When's the last time you were ever struck by the sun? Boom. Well, you know, it's kind of imagery, isn't it? Now, when's the last time you got a sunburn? Some of you might be able to say as recently as last summer. You know, you can really get in a lot of danger in the sun. I don't know if you've ever had sunstroke. My goodness, you can be hospitalized. The sun can be dangerous. What about the moon? How dangerous is the moon? Well, in one sense, we're just trying to say all day long, any dangerous sun, moon, and whatever. But, you know, people used to think the moon was dangerous. You know, when the vampires come out, I know there is no such thing, but if you made them up, when are werewolves running around? I know there's no such thing, but if they were, when do they come out? Nighttime. That's when the moon's out. What's the other word for moon? Lunar. Lunar. What's the word that comes from lunar? Lunatic. Who's a lunatic? A lunatic, they used to think, was somebody, not with mental illness, they thought a lunatic is somebody that was out in the moonlight too long. And the lunar light made him a lunatic. You got bathed. You know, because crazy people, they do stuff out in the dark, you know, when normal people are resting. And somehow they put this whole idea together, you know, being in the moon too much, you know, you could become a lunatic. I don't know. But to hear in the verse, it's saying, the sun's not going to hurt you, the moon's not going to hurt you. I'm guaranteeing that the sun and the moon are not going to hurt you. But this verse is guaranteeing that God is going to take care of you. If those are the things that we're worrying about in life, God's going to take care of you. All right, another verse, Deuteronomy 20, verse 4. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4. I'll read the reference, and then you can say it with me. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4. The Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to give you the victory. There's lots of verses like this in the Bible. You find the ones that you like. You know, if you go to Bible.com and you pull up a reading of scripture, it doesn't matter what it was, you can search in there and find the words that you want in the Bible, if you wish. And you can just do a look, you know, on provision or fear or help, and you can find the help that God gives. Well, the Lord does not rest, the Lord protects day and night, and the Lord protects everywhere, always. That's verses 7 and verse 8. And so you've got verse 7 where it talks about the evil, you know, that's absolute sin. Oh, today we push evil around so much. The Democrats say that Republicans are just evil, hateful people. Republicans say, oh, the Democrats are just such evil, hateful people. You know what? They're all right. At least the Bible says we're all sinful. So I guess in one sense they're right. But boy, it's that disconcerting people just throwing darts at each other all the time. Evil. God's going to protect you. Has God ever protected you from evil? Could be the evil inside of you. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Could be the evil outside of you. Everybody's had that sense, haven't you, where there's evil that's coming? I want you to think of an example. You don't have to close your eyes, although you can. And just thank God. Thank you, God. Can you think just within seconds? Thank you, God, for protecting from evil when? I can think of one right away. It comes to my mind. Fast. We went to West Africa. West Africa, where we went to a specific town in West Africa, they had sent a handful of missionaries, one by one or two by two, rather, before us. And they never lasted long. These people are so excited, and they would go in there, and all they had to do is be in this city for just a few weeks. And they're like, God doesn't want me to be a missionary ever, ever, anywhere. And they would leave, and they would quit, person after person. The first one that stuck was Danielle, our friend, Danejo. And Danejo was in despair for weeks that went into months, spiritual despair. And it was only after years of being there we discovered why. They said, well, don't you understand? This is the center of occult practice, Satan worship, for the whole country. If you want to be a professional witch doctor, you go here to be trained. If you want to worship demons or sacrifice to them, you go north of town. This is a place where once a year everybody comes together and they kill an animal. I don't know what is goat or sheep. Sheep, probably. And the witch doctors read one of the organs and tell you the future. They can tell you stuff that people can't tell unless there's supernatural help. And demons are supernatural help. I only felt it once, the first time there. And I felt it, I don't know what it was, a day or two or three. It was terrible. I just felt this great oppression and so depressed. And thank God he protected me from that. That's the only time I ever felt it. To my knowledge, no team member has ever told me that they felt it. God has protected all of us. A couple of times we got into fighting supernatural battles there. When you're with Jappy, you're challenging demons. I don't like that business. But I'm thankful that Jesus is stronger. And one or two times I had a little glimpse that there's a real power out there fighting us. I thank God that he protects us from evil. Many times we don't even know the evil that God protects us from. God protects us everywhere. And always, have you been enabled by God? Or just think about, how does God help us? There's so many different ways that God helps us. He enables us. Think about this right now, and just thank God quickly. You don't have to close your eyes, but you can. Thank God for an ability he has given you, or an opportunity you would never have had except God gave it to you. I thank God here I'm in front of people. You must probably think he's got to be making this up because you've seen me preach thousands of times. Some of you have. I did not like to talk to people at all. Very few people. I didn't want to talk to them. I was too shy. The idea of standing up in front of people and explaining the Bible to them, I ran from it. Is there anything else you would let me to do, God? And his answer was no. What a terrible struggle that was. And yet I'm so thankful that God wisely called me to do what I did not want, that I hated the idea, because he enabled me. And what I still feel a little uncomfortable doing, God enables me to do it. Yes, I hope that you found something right away. Sustain you through something. Think about it. Thank God for it quickly. I mean, are you close enough to God that you've got answers for these things because he has helped you? I trust you've not lived your life all on your own. Has he sustained you through grief or pain or an illness or hurt, loneliness or fear? Think about it and thank him. Thank you, Lord. There's so many. I was just going to tell you so many, but I think I'm at my sweet wife and my mother-in-law. They go through pain all the time. And they are sweeter in pain, sadly, than I am without pain. And nobody stood up here, I'll tell Linda at home, and said, oh, you're pushing it, John. Nobody did that. It's not that funny. But it's true. God sustains them. How about, has God provided for you through other people? Through other people. Use them as the means. Think about it. And thank him. Thank you, Lord. Man, I got one that comes to mind right away. Family of four. I was unemployed. So was my wife. We were homeless for 5 months. What a story of God's provision. I don't ever want to do it again, but what a story of God's provision. I got to the end, and I don't want to tell you the whole story right now. I got to the end of it, I looked back, and I said, it was like Moses in the wilderness. The tiny, tiny, tiny little, it's just a tiny thing, but to the extent that, you know, when Moses in the wilderness, it said that their shoes and all didn't wear out, and I thought, our shoes, our clothes, nothing wore out. Our car did fall apart one time, and this is just amazing. A carload of happy teenagers came by and jumped out and said, are you having trouble? And they hovered around that car, and I wanted to tell them, please don't touch that thing. You're only 15 or 16. You're going to break it. But I didn't know how to fix it, so I let them do it. And before they were done, it worked. And I don't know what they did. I am thankful that God provided. It was frightening having people that young doing whatever they wanted to with your car. But it worked. God provided. And I trust that you came up with those things. But I say for last, the miraculous. What has God done in your life that can be explained by nothing other than God? Now, I expect those others you have all the time. And maybe if you're a brand new Christian, this has not happened yet for you. It has, actually, but maybe you don't realize it. Is anything comes to mind? Think about it. What has God done that only God could have done? And thank him for it right now. Thank you, Lord. Do you know, if you've been saved, that's your answer right there. It is a miracle any one of us turned away from ourselves in this independent country where we all need to be self-sufficient and said, I cannot be sufficient. I must have Jesus. The Lord is my help. That's a miracle. Any others? Boy, one comes to my mind really, really fast because it's so provable. Pearl Norris, what a prayer warrior that woman was, and she loved her pastor and prayed for him. I miss her so much. One time we were praying because she had this huge tumor. And we were praying, oh, Lord, I didn't have as much faith as she. She had plenty of faith. Went down there and praying, Lord, help her. And before they took her in, they said we'd have to take one more x-ray just to make sure. So the approach of the operation, that it hasn't shifted any, it might even be larger now. And we want to make sure we attack it in the right way. And they came back to her and said, Mrs. Norris, we don't know how to explain this, but the tumor's not there anymore. They have an x-ray of a big tumor, and now they have an x-ray of no tumor. And she said, that's okay, because I know where it went. God took it away. And she never had to have an operation for that tumor, because when God took it away, it was gone. That was a miracle. I don't have too many of them, but I got a few of them. I got a few of them where God has protected our lives miraculously. One that Lynn and I still can't explain, except that God, did I say an angel did it? God protects everywhere and always. Verse 8. Rhonda, you're going to like this one. Verse 8. Because the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Forevermore, it's going to be eternal. But the going out and the coming in, this is again a merism. Whenever they say this and the that, when you're up or when you're down, it means all the time. When you're going out and when you're coming back in, it means all the time. God can protect you anywhere, always, all the time, eternally, that you're going out and you're coming in. And so, does anybody know what this is? Raise your hand if you know what it is. Really? We've got no Jewish people here, okay? And because there's not that many Jewish people around, you've not seen these, maybe. This is a mezuzah. And normally there's one of them. Oh, we got one. I got one. Okay, I got one. Were you once Jewish? Very good. I'm glad I didn't say anything bad. God bless you. Did I have one or more? Did he have one mezuzah or more? Okay, one. You always put the mezuzah, where do you put this in the house? Yeah, front door, right at the front door. So when you go out and when you come in, you go past it. Now, in a super ultra whatever orthodox, you put them at the doorway of every room in the house except for the bathroom. You don't do that one. I don't know, it's just a rule. But you always have it with one. And you don't see them too often, but you did, that's great. I saw one in Ocean City, and I looked around, and there was a handful of Jewish families in this one place we happened to rent one time. Must have been an okay place, because a bunch of Jewish families were there. And what you do is, so you've got this on the doorway. When you walk out, you touch it with your fingers, and you kiss your fingers. This is not in the Bible. It's just what you do out of custom. And then when you go back in, you touch it with your fingers, and you kiss your fingers. And there's some verses inside of that that are actually on a scroll. But if you're observant, and you were taught this when you're young, you also recite a verse when you go through. And Rhonda, you'll never guess what verse it was that they were reciting. Yes, you would, because you know it's going to be verse 8. There it is. Going out and the coming in. You're going to recite that every time. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in for this time forth and forevermore. So if you're Jewish, this is one of the verses you know very, very well. Now, you know it well, too, but it's a great verse because it's reminding you that God can keep you wherever you are, going in, coming out. And so this is a verse now you know a practicing Jew should be reciting probably. But God's not commanded, just a Jewish custom. Whenever you're going in a house or wherever you're coming out a house, and God will watch you even forevermore into all eternity. And they only have one. I took three because I thought it was really, really cool. Just a little extra, no extra charge for this. That's Sheen, and it's the first letter of Shaddai. We got one Hebrew expert here, so Brian can tell you that too. And so you're thinking about that, you know, El Shaddai, that God, the one who's strong enough to protect you, keep your in your going in your turn out. And you got the wall of Jerusalem, and you got the Ten Commandments, and you got something else in the middle, and my eyes are not able to see that far. Proverbs 16:4, I've got that in your notes, and we've got it up here in front of us. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked, for the day of trouble. God has not made people wicked, but he's made people who will do wicked things. Isn't that interesting? God knows everything that's going on. Or Genesis 50-20, this is a great one for children. It's a great one for adults. Because here, this is being summarized by Joseph at the end of life when dad's not there anymore and all the brothers are afraid, you're going to get us back now, aren't you, for all the stuff we did. He says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive. I didn't give you the rest of the verse. I ran out of space. And Genesis 50 talks about how God can use things in different ways. But the one I want you to remember really well is the next one, which we all know pretty well anyway. And that is Romans chapter 8. So it's Romans 8, and I'm going to say the reference. Let's all say it together. Romans 8, 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And verse 29, you got to memorize that with verse 28, but I just had small vision and thought we would just only do one verse there. That God can make all things work. See, he's the one that can keep us. My help is in the name of the Lord. And so God is the one who calls us. And if you're a worshiper, only applies to you. If you're somebody that's trusted Jesus, only applies to you. Have you been called according to this purpose? Everybody else is living their own purpose. If you're just living your own purpose, you're doing your own thing, you've got your own comfort, you're seeking, you've got your own life, your own way, that's not you. But if you've been called, if you've been saved by grace through faith so that you follow a new purpose where all things work together for good that God intends, if you've been called to that purpose, that you're going to enjoy him forever, that you're going to serve him and glorify him forever, that your life is God's and he can do with what you want. If that is what you're believing today, if you follow that purpose, then you can join every other believer, every other worshiper here that has Jesus at the center of their life, and you can genuinely say, my help comes from the Lord. And you just took a few moments a little bit ago thanking him for that help that he's given you so many different ways over your life with him. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you that you're so big that you can call us to a purpose that's so great that we can look to you for our help, whether we're going out or we're coming in, whether we're going up the hill, heading east, west, north, or south, that you can protect us, you can enable us, you can sustain us, you can provide for us, and you are able to do the miraculous if that's what's called for. You can make all things work together, the good, the bad, the stuff we didn't expect, for a good that makes us more like Jesus and accomplishes your purpose. Would you continue to do that through me, through my family, through my sisters, through my brothers, through this church, through your church? We pray to your honor and glory in the name of Jesus.